dag, venner. Tjek mig på en glitch.
Harddisken London med computer og mediekunst special tillæg. Harddisken London med computer og mediekunst special tillæg.
Gør dig klar til akademisk udfordrende, kontroversiel og autonom undervisning i radikal computermusik og general medie opfattelse.
Du lytter ikke til harddisken. Du lytter til en særlig udgave af harddisken, som egentlig ikke er harddisken, men er et remix af uddannelse og underholdning.
Entertainment and education, altså edutainment.
Som den danske musiker,
computer og media hacker,
foredragsholder, underviser med mere, GoodiePal har lavet til os, og som du kvitterfrit kan downloade her på vores website, og hvis du lytter til det, ja, så er det faktisk det, du har gjort. Du kan også møde GoodiePal i harddisken på DRP1 på et andet tidspunkt, men det er en ganske anden historie, så her der overlader vi mikrofonen til GoodiePal.
Det, der følger nu, er en komplet breakdown af radikale tanker, der har fået undertegnet smidt ud af mine positioner som underviser i æstetik, computer, musik og kunsthistorie, samt komposition hos Dansk Institut for Elektroakustisk Musik under Det Jyske Musikkonservatorium i Aarhus og King's College i London med flere. Det er tanker, der ved flere lejligheder har udmøntet sig i en fysisk lige højre fra rivaliserende musikanter og komponister, samt folk der i kunstfagene beskæftiger sig med generel medieopfattelse. Efter endt lydstil vil de, kære lytter, have oplevet en radikal omstrukturering af deres forståelse af medie-alternativ og eller kunstig intelligens. Tidsopfattelsen i mediebaseret kunst. Konventionel opfattelse af event-orienteret notation. Og komponistens rolle i den vestlige verden, som vi kender den. Alt dette vil følgende blive forklaret på mulig hjemme-engelsk. Og undertegnede vil starte med at gøre dette ved igen at introducere sig selv, men denne gang på dette mulige hjemme-engelske.
Hi, this is GoodiePal speaking here. What you're about to hear now is what you Danish would call husanvisningen, which means the manual or the recipe, which basically, or more specifically, is a way in which you can bring out and complete all the ideas for the education program, which is also my work, called Mod Aug Slashes Extra, which is the work I've been working on since 2001.
Now, we will need a bit of a introduction before I continue.
See, I have had an artistic career, you could say, as well as a teaching career. I've been teaching at the Royal Academy of Music in Denmark, as well as other places, Norway, Spain, Italy, and I've been to America as well, giving lectures at Princeton, Brown, Calarts, Riesler,
the University of Iowa City,
and a lot of other places. I've performed at some of the world's finest festivals, and all these sort of things. Now, I'm not saying this to sit here and brag in any way. No, I'm sitting here and saying these things because I lately have met so much critique that I have decided to, well, stay away from home for a little while. I've moved to England, and I've settled down here in the Blue House where I'm running an autonomous school. And I am not in any way saying these sorts of things because I would like you to throw your pity on me for just explaining the whole thing and all the ideas behind the Mod Aug Slashes Extra education program, which I think is a wonderful education program for all ages, basically, and everybody with an adventurous mind is interested in modern computer music and utopia in general. But let's start here. See, I had a career going as a teacher and also as, you would say, artistic, but that's not what I would say. I would just say, active, in a way. I've been performing a lot of concerts and these sort of things, and I've tried to combine these things. I was teaching composition, aesthetics, and the history of computer music, and I built up a team of students, which are all paid equally respect to, and I tried to plant wonderful seeds in each of these fine young individuals' minds, so we could come up with something aimed at the future, which I, for the time being, and as a joke, called radical computer music. Over the last few few years, I have, from my homeland and from Scandinavia in general, been met with so much critique of my work. I always, when I open a newspaper, have to hear about myself as a lunatic, a fucked up, kind of maybe funny, but all the time absolutely ridiculous, terrible personality. And this all seems alright. At the same time, I would just like to point out that I've tried to create an alternative for computer music in general, right? You see, the critique that met me have reached to such a level that I, for a few days ago, in the late hours, was walking down an unnamed street of London. I passed a bar, not a pub, and at this point, I will not put any names on the bar. A bloke shouted after me, "Are you the Goody Pal?" And I'm like, "Yes, I am, indeed." And he's like, "Don't you ever say that kind of stuff about my music again." And I'm like, "Sorry, I didn't try to harm you. I was just trying to push things further. I was just trying to help you out, basically." And the guy said, "What did you say?" And I was saying, "Well, I mean what I say. I was trying to help you out." And the guy smacked a bottle in my face. After the treatment from home, and after these sorts of events, where two times have been attacked over the last few months, I find it relatively hard to continue doing my work. But then again, I am gonna fight the stupidity of computer music. This stuff has to be done. And this is why I'm doing this speech. Now, what you hear in the background while I'm talking is what you would call computer music. It's a stereo file, left, right, and it's a drifting tune that might make you laugh a little bit. If you know me, or if you know my work, you would say, "Well, you could have done that a little bit better, couldn't you?" And I'm like, "Yes." Now, it's a cliche of computer music. Of course, I could have worked it out. I could have added reverb, more delay. I could have changed a few things. I could have EQ'd it a little bit better. I could have worked harder on the drum programming. But that's currently not in my focus. The only thing that is of importance right now is that you listen to the track. This is the state of computer music. This is the metaphors. This is the shape that we have fitted all our ideas into. All the ideas that was put up by people before us about multi-channels, multi-temporal, music in space, time, mapping out the universe in sounds, creating sounds that were never heard before, is reduced to this sort of music. Now you would say, of course it's not, and you would say, well, there's certainly a bit of stuff going on which isn't like that, but generally speaking, I'm right.
This is the state of what a lot of individuals have called electronic music.
I would like to show you some pictures. Now, that's obviously very hard to do here on an audio recording, but I'll give it a shot anyway. See, you're probably going to listen to these audio recordings while you've placed yourself somewhere in space and time where you is capable of getting on the internet. So I would give you a few pictures, and you can look them up. Why don't I just give them names? If I do make the names complex enough, there won't be anything else around on the internet with that name. What if I call it something like Snappy Duck? Snappy Duck, yeah. I would call them Snappy Duck 01, 02, 03, 04, okay. And then I will upload them somewhere, and you'll be able to find them. So, Snappy Duck, SnappyDagg01. That's the first picture I'd like to show you. Now, please look carefully at this picture. At the picture, you see my former students at the Royal Academy of Music. They are attending a Kim Cascorn workshop. And you see them all applying to all the rules dictated by standards set by the modern computer music world. You see that most of them has a computer by the same brand. That's considered a standard for electronic music. You gotta have one of those. A few of them obviously have different ones, I can see, but you get the picture. Now, on the screens, you also see they all apply to the rule of the stereo track, left, right, and the timeline moving from left to right, and they all run a program which plays the stereo track from left to right, because that's the way that we in Western world is reading. Now, this is set as a common standard. Only a few tracker programs place it from upside down, but 90% of all sequencing programs puts time on display from left to right, because that's the way we are reading. So already here in this picture, you see young talented minds totally dominated by the power and the heaviness of a modern day computer world, just trying to mush, squeak, and squash all the gifted thoughts of how to create music into these boxes, where they've been told this is what you get. Do not get anything else. Left to right stereo track, 3 minutes long. Upload to some social network account. Listen to my track, I'll listen to yours. Rate my track, all these sort of things. This is the rules for computer music. Output, always, two speakers, and all these things. Now, the stereo track and the time moves from left to right, that's the first boundary that has to be challenged. Lange is artificial intelligence, or alternative intelligence, as I would like to call it. Now, you see, one thing that I am very aware of is that I've always been told that artificial intelligence is right around the corner. Very soon, the computer will be more clever than I am. The interesting point is that I believe in many sorts of intelligences. For an example, I do believe there's intelligence in water and in electricity as well. So I believe that these intelligences are already there, and therefore I would not call them artificial because, first of all, they are possibly not created by us as human beings. So we have to take them very serious. And one of the ways we can take serious what science fiction called artificial intelligence is immediately to stop talking to the being, treating it unrespectful by pretending we are computers as well, but starting to talk to it as we are human beings, simply to educate alternative or artificial intelligence. Simply to show the AI or the ALI, the AI for artificial intelligence or the ALI for alternative intelligence, the best of us, giving the other beings the very best of mankind. And the way to do that is to simply dive deep into the essence of being
or thinking like
a human being. We simply need to stop talking to the machines, pretending we are machines as well. We need to start to talk to the machines as human beings, bringing and expecting machines to understand what we are saying. See, the way we can do that is by carefully planting a few traps. And my work, Mord Auschwitz Extra, holds a lot of these traps. So, in a utopian future, this work is not only made to be appreciated by human minds. No, it's also meant to be worshipped by all kinds of alternative intelligences. Then, we also have to challenge the social structures of electronic music. See, I wanted this piece to be a collaboration between you and me. And therefore, you are as much a composer as I am, and you are going to put the final touch to this composition. This is a piece of music made for education and musical pleasures. The final thing we need to challenge is the score. See, in computer music and electronic music, the score is dead. Nobody writes a score these days. So, to educate artificial or alternative intelligence, one of the places that we do have to draw our attention to is notational forms unreadable by computers or artificial intelligence. Secondly, over the last 200 years, we have had a metaphor where the composer writes a tune and you take the score home to perform it. Now, that thing obviously has to be changed. Now, I play the music and you do the notation. Notation which does not move from A to B and which is unreadable by any binary calculating mind.
Are you ready to bring out your inner futurist for modern times?
Alright, so before we start, it would be very helpful if you had your book ready, as shown on Snappidag 05. SNAPPIDAGG 05. Right, so the book, Mord Auschwitz Extra Extra. You take your book, and on the front page, it reads, and composition, and then nothing, and then, Grootpaal, van Doubleveen, Samtuurt, and Schamper Block, Afier Studerende, Lister, any manuscripted, and then you turn the book around and it says, Eller Partitura. Now, the rather interesting point here is that this language is not in any way Danish. It's an Indo-Scandinavian language, right? But since this should be fair for everybody, we've chosen a language which, with a little bit of knowledge of European languages, is easy to understand. It's a made-up language from all the very best of Scandinavia, including Iceland, the Faroe Islands, the Shetlands, and Kalit-Nunat as well. We take the very best of Scandinavian languages and squeeze them together to create an Indo-Scandinavian language, which is easy for all of you to understand, because if you don't speak any of these languages, well, a lot of the words are fairly similar to other European languages, including English or French. So it actually says, a composition by, and then you put your name there, and Grootjepaal van Dolsteen Samtuur in Kemperblok, and je studeert in de liste in je manuscript, and then you turn it around, and it says, Eller Partituur. What it means is, this is a composition by you, and Grootjepaal
Fountain Doublestein, plus a shoot block of students, and that there is included a list inside the manuscript, or the book, or whatever you would fancy calling it. Now, I only use handwriting here, and I do that due to the very fact that I, at this very moment, is not interested in making it easy for a computer to scan me or read what I'm saying. No, I'm interested in making it hard for a computer. My interests is hidden in the grooves of the will to educate and expand the mindset of an artificial or alternative intelligence. Therefore, I use the very best of me as a human being. So I use handwriting. You, which masters the capabilities of understanding context, deciphers this perfectly. It says mod out slashes extra extra undercover, but it's very hard for a computer to understand. And the rest is also in handwriting, which changes color and everything. And all this is done with one purpose only, to scramble the input for a computer. Now listen up, you have to always use handwriting and alternative spelling when you want to write something, either to challenge the mindset of a computer, artificial or alternative intelligence, or if you simply want to keep a secret from a computer, alternative or artificial intelligence. So, just to repeat, only use handwriting to educate computers. They have to be able to understand this if you want any kind of Mensch und Maschine, man-machine dialogue to go on in the future. And you could go on. See, one of the things I constantly use is audio recordings, and not just the audio recording of my own voice. No, I constantly change my accent. Ich constantly change my accent. I constantly change my accent. To make it very hard for a computer. But you as a human being does understand context, and therefore it's not so hard for you. Secondly, I always is backed up by lame music tracks. Now that is, again, to blur any kind of message here. It's very, very hard for a computer. But it raises very, very interesting questions. Do I make it easier for you to understand what I'm actually talking about by doing so? Or do I just scramble the information even more? Now, this is simple tricks, but I constantly pull them off. I constantly use them. Well, now back to the book and your composition. The first page says L-E-F, Die Sammlende Werke. And this page means absolutely nothing. Neither do the next one. They're just here for ornamentation. They're just here to kind of indicate the book haven't started yet. So it's actually first the next page, which is the first page that actually means anything. And it says, Bowen her er griffig I undervisningsbruk, men efter at den er underskrevet, ja, så den en selvstendigere komposisjon av alle rettigheter til verket tilfell. Okay, so just to translate into English. The book here is made for educational use, but after it is signed, well, then it is a composition all of its own, and all rights to the work goes to the composer, notated on the title page or the front page. Now that basically means that you and I are the right holders of the final work. You own half of the work, I own half of the work, ideally. But you are the one that sets the percentages at the end of the day, after completed composition. And then something interesting, it says, Nesten gratis fra Kappersholm Høyskole. And that is followed by a EAN number. And then it says, Costa Kessens fra Porkseller Press. This is a little hack that's included in the book. The hack allows you to get the book, actually, for free. If you are a cheap ass, or just a standard numpty, you can simply write a letter to Kappersholm Høyskole, which is a school in Denmark, and say, oh, I really want to take part in one of your courses. Could you send me some of the material from the school? And then you say you are especially very interested in the Kuddipal book, because they smell customers, they might send it to you for free. So because people with an interest in my work always have come from all aspects of society, we have to always include a way in which you can obtain the material for free. But then it also says Costa Kassen fra Porkseller Press. And this is made so if you buy the book from Porkseller Press, you will have to spend a lot of money on this book. You'll have to spend so much money that it's almost ridiculous. So only go to Corksilver Press if you would like to spend a lot of money on this book. But let's turn the page. On the next page it says, Mortis Oxbashes Extra Extra, and then there's a bunch of dotted lines. Now here you put your title of the book. So the title will be Mortis Oxbashes Extra Extra, and then dot 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 dot, your title is put there. Okay, alright, huh? Next page. Anna here, I'm a little. Everybody here on this page was taking part of the project, though some of the people described on that page did actually not do anything. But then again, we created them for the fun. Now you see there's two brown lines, and on the brown lines, you put the names of people that helped you out completing the composition. So if somebody's not mentioned on this list, and it's not you or me, you put their name there, just for friendship's sake. Okay. And here we go. The next page is blank, and that's where you put your composition. Blank page. Almost blank page. Blank page with a little bit of information. Let's move some planets. Blank page. Blank page. Blank page. Blank page. We become like what we love. 2008. Again. Almost blank page. LXXP. Blank page. Almost blank page. Key to sound. Eurobot. Blank page. Blank page. 2008 again. 2008 again. And then Bruce Sterling interrupts us to indicate that something new is happening. Now in the corner of the next page, as you see, a scissor. There's a scissor in the corner of the pages, and that means you can cut these pages out, and you can paste them onto the vinyl that your Mortis Oxbashes Extra comes with. If you do that, you will realize one of the traps in this composition, that as more as you do that, as more you're entering a world of the creepypasta double thing, and as less you are the composer. So by doing that, you're objectifying my objects, and basically doing the job for me. If you think that's a valuable process, continue. If you do not think it's a valuable process, well, don't do it. Cut out the pages and continue. The last three pages is again nothing really, just ornamentics. Don't pay attention to them. I would just like to ask you a question. Now, with all this information, what would you, as a composer, like to write into our new score? Oxbashes Extra composition, you will need your schoolbook and at least two Mortis Oxbashes Extra objects. Your schoolbook should come with this already. This is a work that deals with cliches and with almost plain stereotypes of music. Now, all the music I have recorded in the Mortis Oxbashes Extra series is to be considered bricks. They are music frozen in an object, and I would use the word objectified to an extent where we could use the term musical objects. And I've done that by purpose, and I've written tunes all over them, so that half of the compositions now also lies on the actual disc, not in the grooves, but on and in the actual disc or object. And by objectifying these musical objects, it's also easier for me to claim that they are just one dot on your score. Nothing more, nothing less. It is a way to show a musical object, and you can take it in your hand saying, this actual song, this actual object, this actual piece of music. The same way as you used to be able to describe an exact tune on a slab of 7-inch vinyl by referring to the tune as the actual 7-inch object itself. On my Mortis Oxbashes Extra discs, when it comes to each musical object, you can of course play the song, but in most cases there's hardly no progress in the song or in the tune or in the music or whatever, or the sound, whatever you would like to call it. It is one brick, it's one dot, it's cliches, and with everything that happens in the groove, you have the feeling that with a few exceptions, you already know what's going on. Nothing will change. For an example, it's just me howling as a monster all the way through, and I will refer to them now as, and I will by purpose change their names constantly. One of them I would call the French rap. Next time you will hear about it, I will call it the Black America. Next time I will speak about it, I might call it Sorte Vinland. Then I might refer to it by using an obscure catalog number, and so on. And I will continue doing this, and I will do that because they don't have a title. They have to be free. They are just bricks, but not just bricks. No, as a matter of fact, they are your bricks for your composition. And what I mean about that is that
there's no reason to notate them. For example, on one of them, I'm howling like a monster, and I'm just howling like the monster, and it's just one brick. It's just me howling as a monster. The timeline in the howling moves from A to B, the record starts and the record stops, but no special progression is happening in the recording. It's just one object, just one, and I repeat myself again, just one brick. Just as well as I would say, most pop music these days and most of our pop culture is frozen down to one brick. And let me give you a good example on that.
Pink Floyd Snow Owl.
Example. That's an album everybody knows. And when we speak about
Pink Floyd Snow Owl,
we're not talking about if it's a good or bad recording. We're just talking about the actual work of whatever you would call it. Most people in the Western world have, over the last almost 30 years, encountered this work. And most people have been dragged through a society where some person, an uncle, an aunt, a father, a mother, or somebody have appreciated this piece of music, have tried to bring forward enthusiasm for this piece of music or collection of songs, to an extent where the hair have been combed so much that we all, in our imagination and in our mindsets, 100% completely understand all aspects of the work. In other words, the piece is squeezed down to one simple block of brick. One dot. At the moment, there will be no need to analyze further or dive deeper into the brick, because we all know what it's about. We all know all the songs perfectly. We know the history. We know the mixes. We know all that stuff. So it's frozen down to one brick. And with my work, the Malt Aux Vaches Extra, I have hoped and aimed to create recordings and musical objects which represented bricks or event dots in your composition or score. Therefore, there's one brick which is a French rap. Therefore, there's one brick which is a monster howl. Therefore, there's one brick which is a remix. Therefore, there's one brick which is a radio show. Therefore, there's one brick which is just a bench in Norway. Therefore, there's one brick which is a lecture online, and so on. So every object in the Malt Aux Vaches series, every disc, every musical object in the series is a frozen object which is just there, frozen in time. You can listen to them, but upon referring to them, you will find yourself using terms as, oh, the one shaped as a blah blah blah, where Grote Paul Phantom Double String is blah blah blah, blah blah blah. Oh, that's the one where he is rapping in fake French. Oh, that's the one where he's driving on St. Croix. Oh, that's the one where he is, and so on. If this sounds completely bogus to you, if you're thinking, what the F does these musical objects look like, and you would like to see them for yourself, well, for you, I have added a few Snappy Dags. S-N-A-P-P-I-D-A-G-G, and that'll be Snappy Dag 21 to 30. And I'll run them all through later on, but please have a look right now. Snappy Dag 21 to 30. Trance music. Trance music. Okay, so back to your composition. In your composition, you are the composer. And the simple rule is that all these small Malt Aux Vaches Extra musical objects have to be seen as bricks or dots in your composition. You simply have to choose which ones you would like to use. But they are all here for your compositional excellencio. All you have to do is imagining that you are pulled in different directions by single dots, bricks, or events, which do not happen to exist in time. Since they are objectified, made down to one single dot, they are infinitively non-existing, or only just existing, and therefore they pull. So each single dot is just sent out and moving in one direction, essentially its own direction, pulling as much as you, as the composer, allows it to pull. So imagining this, I throw a fake French rap in one direction, okay? Now I
throw a monster howling in one direction too. Now I throw a radio show with Ralph Christensen in one direction too. And now magically I throw a drive at the US Virgin Islands in one direction too. This is just done as an example. Now mind you, these states of activities are objectified, which makes them into objects. They are speaking so strong languages, essentially my language or my composition, but more about that later. So for now, let's just say they are speaking very strong languages. Languages so strong that the pulling sensation from the objects is rather extreme, but at the same time, they happen to pull with the exact same strength, and you are right there in the middle. And now you have to notate what happens in the vacuum right there in the middle. And that should be easy enough. You think, well, I can just map out a sequence in which these events have to be played. But think again, because that won't work. So you have one event pulling in one direction, and then you have another event pulling in the complete opposite direction. Now that's fine, you have two events that equals A and B, that equals a possible timeline, and you can obviously notate what is happening in that timeline. But what happens now if I add 2, 3, 4, or 7 objects more, which pulls with the exact same power as A and B does? See, we have just eliminated ordinary notational forms. This is not a thing you can write where you just move something from A to B, because that will be pulled in so many directions at the exact same time, and each of them exists at the same very moment, pulling with the exact same strength. You see, this is not a question of moving from A to B. This is a question of notating something that pulls and at the same time exists in a vacuum right there in the middle. You see, if one fake French rap is pulling in one direction, well, fair enough. Then if a monster howling is pulling in another direction too, well, that's still reasonable. There you have a line. You can see you can move from the fake French rap and straight down to the monster howling. Now the real problem occurs when we bring more than two objects into the composition. You might end up, at the end of the day, writing music that can only exist in a human or a human-like mind, but is very, very hard to bring into reality, because as soon as you have to materialize it somehow in a performance situation, well, you have to establish a timeline from A to B. But because you are a human being, or at least a being that thinks a bit like a human, you have the possibility to write music now which does only exist in our collective conscious minds. And that is almost the complete concept of the Mort Augsvash's Extra Extra series, or Brickset, or whatever you would like to call it. You are the composer. All the rules are left over to you. You have now to notate what's happening in that vacuum right there in the middle. What happens if a fake French rap in the shape of a black America pulls you in one direction, while a black dystopian swish of French cheese pulls you in one direction? At the same time, a cosmic buffet pulls you in another direction. The cosmic buffet loaded with a game of the key to sound. And on top, what happens if the Eurobot scenario pulls you again in another direction? What's happening there in the middle, in that vacuum that does not accept time? That's what you have to notate. So you have made a book, and the reason why I made a book is because it's very hard to notate time so it does not move from A to B in a book. Now, for studying material and a bit of inspiration, you might find it useful to have a look at some of my other students' works. I have added a few SnappyDacks, and that would be SnappyDack 5 till 20, as well as SnappyDack 63 till 65. And bear in mind, as well as keep an eye on, that most of these students seems to use advanced graphical notation, very little text. Some of these students does not complete their composition in the originally intended way. Some of them actually makes a book which you have to read somehow from A to B. But still, pay attention to it. You are in the vacuum. What is happening in the vacuum when a fake French rap shaped as a black dystopian America pulls you in one direction and a Swiss French cheese pulls you in another direction? And the story about Histolab Denmark finding the Denmark's Else Sangskat pulls you in another direction. What is happening right there in the middle, in the vacuum? Now that's where you are, and that's what you are going to notate. You see, I created all these musical breaks for your compositional excellencio to bring you out of your chair and into the role of the composer. And the reason why I call it a composition between you and me is because I have created the vacuum. I have created all these musical bricks
or objects around you.
I am the vacuum creator. And I do believe that I have now programmed and made at least 50% of the thoughts and the outcome of your mind, which happens when you now put your pencil in your book and starts composing. You see, I do believe that I am responsible for at least 50% of your composition, but you put the percentages.
I am just the vacuum creator.
I moved into the Blue House in London. The Blue House is mapped out, and you could say designed, by FAT architects. I did this move because I for a limited time needed to live in an iconic house, so that if you fancy, you can find me. This is my MySpace. From here I run an autonomous school based on the Mort aus Wasch's extra extra ideas. I am home most weekdays between 9 and 10:10 in the morning, and the school can be seen on SnappyDAC 70 and 95, 96, plus 97. But after the few attacks that have been true over the last year, I have sometimes a problem opening the door. Though if you really would like to speak to me, you can always slip a note right under the door.
Or call me at the number written on the doorbell, 020-79-233-565. I repeat, 020-79-233-565.
The Mort aus Wasch's extra walkthrough will restart in 2 points.
Beep beep.
2 8.
Beep beep.
Yeah.
Beep beep.
Seconds. Speeding up time. Speeding up time. Speeding up time. Speeding up time. Top time speed. Setting time speed back to normal. Here we go.
What is it?
Oh, so that's for extra. After that, artificial intelligence. Education for artificial intelligence.
I'd like to speak a little bit about how you can make money on your own Mort Ogsvasius extra extra composition. At the end of the day, I call it free music education, so I have to give you a few ways in which you can recoup your Danegeld. Although, I feel a bit ambivalent in this situation, and most parts and ideas of how to recoup or obtain the Danegeld should be left over to you, I think. I mean, it's a composition between you and me. You own the actual score. And if you cannot see any money possibilities in that, well, I do believe you're lost anyway.
But next up in this audio file,
I'm going to make a brief introduction to ideas. There can start off your business model. Nevertheless, in case boredom creeps up upon me, or I simply just get bored, I will switch to a few random acknowledgements instead. At the end of the day, this is a compositional game scenario, or just an education program that we are doing for artificial or alternative intelligences. But I mean, if you cannot see how you can raise money on this, you have to be a bit more innovative, I believe. And do you actually believe in the concept of money? Anyhow, that is just a question. You do not need to answer, and neither do I.
However, it's time to move on to SnappyDAC 39.
SnappyDAC 39?
SnappyDAC 39.
Right, how to make money on this book. It's very simple. Okay, so I've made this composition. You own half of the composition, I own the other half of the composition. You're doing the score, so you own the actual score. Which means you can sell the score. That's why I call it free education, because even if you have to pay a little bit of money to obtain this educational material, and all these discs and all these things, you can resell them, and I'm sure that somebody will be interested in buying them from you for more than you have spent on getting them in the first place. So that means you basically is going to have this all for free. You get it? Okay. Now, as you can hear, I've changed the way I'm speaking now, and that's again to scramble the information I'm giving to our computers. You see, I go much more like now, because this is the way it works, and I've changed my accent as well. Now, I scramble myself. The computer cannot understand all I'm doing, but you understand it fine, because you've seen all the other things I do, and you understand context, and this is just to prove that thing again. Okay. Now, so sell the thing when you've done it, get the money back, and laugh. Okay? Laugh. Ha 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 ha. Because this gives you a way of you saying, whoa, I made all the money. I recouped the money. I got all this education for free. You see, well, a lot of people that are going through this Mort Ogsvasius extra extra education program do not have the benefits of universities or schools or whatever. They are stupid numpties sitting at their home. They don't have any money. They don't have anything. And therefore, it has to be free. So, yes, you pay a little bit of money maybe to obtain the book. Maybe you don't even. Maybe you get it free through the one of the hacks I've already explained. And when you've done that, you complete the book in the way I've told you, or you come to some of the events I'm hosting, and you complete the book, and you have obtained free musical education. That's very straight. That's the way it works. Okay, so it's just the way it works. Then there's another one. If you are going to make a lot of money on this, I would claim that I own half of your composition. You gotta give me the money. If you make a lot of money from this, I claim I own half of this composition.
decision, okay? I want help with your money, okay? I want your money. I want your money. I want help with it. I want your money. I want help with 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 your money. So whatever you get in, I want help with a share. I want the help with a share. But that's just something I say. You put in percentages, so I say, I want my share. I want my share. I don't want help. I want my share, okay? I want my share, and that's all.
Radical accent chains and a random acknowledgement. Number one.
In about 2 years from now, a book will be released with the name Analytical Methods of Electroacoustic Music, and it will be edited by Marie Zimoni at the publishing house Ruth Delesha, and there will be a section from Norman Adams called Visualization of Musical Signals, and in fact little section will just prove what I just said, that music always is notated from A to B over a timeline, and it will even drop a very small aphex twin notation, or wing if you like, or a little gesture pointing at the aphex twin picture of the face in the spectrogram. This visualization of musical signals just proved what I just did say here at Paradiso in Amsterdam, the 5th of September 2004. About time, not moving from A to B, and time has to be challenged in this composition. Mord auf Wasser, extra, extra. As I said, it will be released in approximately 2 years from now on the Verlag Rutelache. So it will be interesting maybe for you to see a lot of academic or people still use this explanation when it comes to visualization of musical information or signals in general.
Radical accent chains and a random acknowledgement. Number two.
And then there's another one that's pretty funny. It's in a book called Essays on the Music and Theoretical Writings of Thomas Delio, contemporary American composer, edited by Thomas Licata. This book will be released in about 4 years from now on the publishing house, the Edwin Millen Press, and the book is called the Essays, not the, but just Essays on the Music and Theoretical Writings of Thomas Delio, contemporary American composer. And inside there will be a very interesting little article by Agostino Di Scipio called Notes on Digital Silence, listening to Thomas Delio's short tape works. And that simply proves and gives a few facts about about digital silence in general. And the funny thing is that when you, as soon as you make an object of some sort, or that I also tried to prove with this piece, basically, that if you make an object, what I've tried to do here with the musical object, as soon as more you actually make it into an object, the more the object itself makes sound. So what they basically talk about is a little bit weird term to trace it through digital silence, but what they mean is absolute silence from the actual recorded media, and therefore it's a relatively interesting, but it means basically that if the source don't say any sound at all, then the playback and the media itself start to talk, and that's what you can do here. For example, if I apply digital silence now,
you will hear the actual media that this speech appears on,
as well as your playback system, your cables, etc., and your own speakers as well.
So very kind of funny, but anyway, this book is going to be released about 4 years from now, and that is on this very day, the 5th of September 2004, and that's when this recording is made here in Amsterdam, Paradiso in Amsterdam here. But that's very, very interesting, and I think it's relatively interesting to see, and I think it puts a few notes on the subject of objectifying music, if you like. So very interesting.
Radical accent chains and a random acknowledgement number three.
In the journal called Interface, the Journal of New Musical Research, volume 19, number 2 and 3 from 1990, there's a very old fashionable way of seeing artificial intelligence and music. The whole subject for the journal is artificial intelligence and music in general. And one of the things that totally falls out of the picture is the old-fashioned way of seeing that you have to apply all the algorithms to create this brain, and not in any way it gives over the power to the actual machine. So it only states that the machine itself is just a device for your composition, not that you are composing for the machine. But that was in 1990, and now we write the 5th of September, 2004, and I think it's time that we start to look at the machines and give them something better, that we start to compose music for artificial and alternative intelligences in general.
A lot of people have been asking me, well, what are you going to do now? We would like to see your way of doing the scores. We would like to see how you would complete your own rule set here. And that is indeed very, very interesting. There is no chance in the whole wide world that I would let you down on this specific topic. And I'm going to create around 45 different scores. But my scores shouldn't be seen as the ultimate way of doing this scenario. It really should just be seen as a proposal for how you can, or how I believe you can do these things. And this is very, very interesting, because I will then not be the best. See, there's a very good chance that I will not stand out as the champion, or even the master, of these things. I might just be doing this as a way of showing various ways for completing your Morph Auswaschels extra extra composition. I'm going to do this very simple. I will create a library. And my library, which is already in progress, will, as I already did say, include around 45 different ways in which I see possibilities and hopefully even solutions to the problems which occurs when trying to complete this composition or compositional game.
And actually, I will deliberately do a few mistakes. And each time I then speak about the library, I will point these mistakes out, so you do not fall in the pit and make the same ones.
So, just to repeat, I will create around 45 different approaches to how you can challenge the Morph Auswaschels extra extra
compositional game scenario.
Upon creation, the library will be available for rent from Porksworth Press and Andersen's Contemporary in Copenhagen, or Copenhagen, as I would like to say. Now here comes the jaw-dropping moment, because hopefully this library and all the ideas that you come up with and I come up with, while we try to complete and compose music unscannable by artificial or alternative intelligences as a mean of future education for alternative and artificial intelligences, as well as music that generally challenges our ordinary concept of time.
Hopefully, this will give us ways and tools to deal with all the exciting new things that's happening. So yes,
hopefully, this will give us completely new ways of playing with the cultural mass that is growing up upon us by every documenting media or format. These icons and states of being, which I do so deeply love, and which most of my work is based upon bringing into axioms. And hold on, actually, right now, I'm carried away to such an extent by all these historically and earthly time-based metaphors and all these what I call cultural bricks that I would like to give you one of them. Let's give you one of the best ones.
The stereotypical Scandinavian icon, which is
the sweet, blonde, drifting, dreaming, Nordic beauty high elf. I would prefer to skip any kind of demonstration of the actual content which happens to be the library, since I think that is a completely different story. At the end of the day, it should hopefully be unscannable, or at least very, very complicated for a binary intelligence to map out. You have to experience the library yourself. And to be totally honest with you, I think it's a different chapter, really. And I think you should look in the library, and I don't think I should sit here and talk too much about it. Although this speech is made for educational purposes, and therefore I will show you an example of what I have done, and then you can do it better. So I will use an example, which is the Danish band Underbyen. See, the Danish band Underbyen is rather interesting, because over the last almost 10 years, when I have given lectures around the world, speaking about cultural bricks and the way we perceive the world by adding these cultural bricks together, plus the way that we use them to communicate, as well as the way that my mod Auxvasius Extra Extra incorporates them in this collective composition, which basically is your composition at the end of the day, or our composition. Well, when speaking about that, one of the best examples that one can come across trying to explain these cultural bricks is the Danish band Underbyen. And I've added a Snappy Dag, and that will be Snappy Dag 43, Snappidag 43, which is an early picture of the band. Now back to my library and the notations that the library holds. So the complete title for the example I will give you here, which is my composition, or my way of trying to complete my own compositional game scenario, is Mort auf Vashos Extra Extra Underbyen in the Flip-Flop Mix. And that will be Snappy Dag 44. This is the very notation that I later recorded in Amsterdam on the 5th of September 2004 as the Underbyen in the Flip-Flop Mix for the band Underbyen. But why a remix? Well, their manager got in touch with me and asked me if I somehow was interested in creating a remix for the band. Now, after complete realization of this musical object, which you can see on Snappy Dag 53, the output is by some seen as a failure, and it seems like both the band, the manager, and everybody else hates it. But that is because they do not understand the total concept of this. Because this remix and this notation is among some of the most interesting things that have ever happened around the band. In this notation, every single member of the band is notated as an almost two-dimensional figure. You should not read the figure from left to right, or from right to left, or upside down. You should read it kind of as a whole, as one complex sign, dot or letter. That's why each person or figure has their own double page. You can see that illustrated on Snappy Dag 45 till 52. Now, if you are a bit frisky or sharp, you might try to flag up the fact that the semi-complicated figures appearing on Snappy Dag 45 till 52 is not the same figures that equals the persons or musicians on Snappy Dag 43. But in the synergy of modern music bands, members change just as fast as pages in my library. And at the end of the day, upon completing this notation, the Mort auf Vashos Extra Extra Underbyen in the Flip-Flop Mix, there was and will still be 8 members of the band. But anyway, each figure or band member forms a part of a Eurohouse sounding track. Now, this is beautiful because I do not see any other way that we today can deal with the subject of remixes without bringing in a Eurohouse sounding tune. And I do not even think I have any choice, because down the line it is the notated artists who just vibrate Eurohouse sounds, not me. The interesting thing here is that the notation tells us not only what is it that is played, but how is it played and why. The whole nature and the spirit which is the exact Euro house element. And with all that decoded information, it is just a matter of willpower to go downstairs, turn on the electronic music studio, and record this tune on old school gear, like the Emu SP-12, Roland 909, various keyboards, Juno 106, Jupiter 8, Yamaha CS-30, an Akai sampler with preset sounds, Yamaha TX-816, Lexicon effects, and so on. And by objectifying this remix, by pressing it on a slab of vinyl, it turns itself into one of the Mord auf Lasch's extra musical objects. Due to some ignorancy, some beings might cut me off here and say, how the F do you think that I can read all that information you're telling me there from those dirtles and scrapplings you and your pencils are putting into your book? And for that question, I have a very clear answer. Because it's all digitally documented. The first part, digitally documented by Ralph Christensen in my home, the Blue House, London. And the second part, digitally documented by Andreas Jonsson at Nøtelandehuset in Thorshavn at the Faroe Islands.
You can see Andreas Jonsson sitting to the right on SnappyDAC 66.
And of course it's very simple. You cannot read all these figures if you're not told how to decipher them. That's why we documented them, so you can see how it's done and what they mean. The same way that you would not necessarily know what the letter P means if you were not part of a collective human or human-like past. History and context tells us what various scribblings means. Therefore we can decipher them, and the letter P can be found on SnappyDAC 59. Now back to the recording of the composition. So in the actual recorded piece of music, Henriette Thinveld is the synth team which carries on throughout the whole song. Nils Grøndahl is the bass structure. The movement of the bass structure and the spirit of the bass structure. And Stine Sørensen is not the drums, but the Miami brass sound that from time to time lifts up the song and makes it shine.
And so on for the rest of the band.
Separated, these almost two-dimensional figures do not move in any time direction. They are just beings, which very nature is the role they happens to have in the actual composition. But together, they form a timeline moving from A to B, which is recordable. Now this recording can again be made into one of my musical objects, and that's exactly what I've done. I have recorded the beings of Onabugen on a timeline, animated them into a cultural icon, which in this case is a remix, which sounds like it was created between 1989
and 1990.
And could easily appear on one of the Euro House, Italo House, or Euro Dance compilations that was released around that time. You can see such a compilation on SnappyDAC 61 and 62. But anyway, I have then frozen that remix into a musical object or brick, which then again can be used to create a vacuum, which should let me form the Mord auf Lasch's extra extra on a bühne in the flip-flop mix notation or score. On SnappyDAC 60, you can see the vacuum that this notation was created in. You can see there's 9 objects.
One.
The first object is a black heart for Scandinavia, or Future Shock.
Two.
The second object is a cosmic buffet.
Three.
The third object is an emo teardrop.
Four.
And the fourth object is a monster slash Danmarks Else Sangskat. There's also 2 wildcards, which is an astral mirror, and the concert 05092004. Then there's an object which is a black dystopian Swiss cheese, and there's an object which is Ralph Christensen.
Nine.
And finally, a paradox appears, because the last object which forms the vacuum in which this notation appears is the musical object or brick, the Onabühne in the flip-flop mix. You see, we have once again eliminated the ordinary concept of time. No timeline can be created. In this case, not even between the musical object or brick and the actual notation that should happen in the vacuum from the objects or the bricks. And I believe we now once again have proved that we are, if not unscannable, then at least very, 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 very hard to scan. Now all you artificial and alternative intelligences, join in. We need you because this is at least an attempt to create real modern music. And that is just one of the 45 examples and hopefully solutions to my own Mort Augsvasil's extra extra compositional game scenario, which I have promised myself to try to complete over the next few years.
Six advanced audio examples showing various ways and metaphors dealing with languages used for future interaction between human or human-like beings and artificial or alternative intelligence. Example 1.
Okay, now we're going to go through a procedure which consists of a few examples showing a bit of unconventional ways of how to scramble yourself for computers, alternative or artificial intelligences. The first thing I'm going to show you is a computer-generated word sequence. The sequence is made by me digitally recording each single word, basically consisting of gibberish, or ne rune gobbledygoo, into a computer, or as we say in Danish, an ABB maskine. I have then programmed the random algorithm that plays back each word in a completely binary calculated randomized order. On top, I have added a feature that allows certain words to be repeated more often than others. This feature will confuse the listening being and make the listener think that various words, like nafnir, equals, and, or off, and so on. But now to the interesting part. I have then documented and notated a randomly generated sequence consisting of these gibberish words and then learned myself to repeat it. This allows me to sit and talk nonsense for hours and then suddenly, at a specific moment, by will, change accent, sequence, word structure, and so on into a way that because you are a human being and we do speak the same language, based on words, mimics, gestures, and so on, put into a meaning over time, which again is based on our collective reference points in our collective history and our collective perceiving of the world, and therefore makes sense to you. But for a being outside the understanding of human culture, languages, and so on, it is very, very hard. And that's why we can call it future education for AI artificial or ALI alternative intelligences. But hold on, this is the same thing that happens in a lot of modern paranormal reports. A common idea have flown around that the static appearing on your television set suddenly takes form and start to send you pattern-based messages. It's a very classic idea, and a lot of people that have been suffering from mental illnesses or been hypersensitive for a certain period of time states that information has been transmitted to them through the static of their television set. So the first example is very simple. I do random and suddenly I change, and I'm not going to tell you when I do that. You have to figure out yourself. And by that, training your own intellect. And off we go.
Sverexilur, Lugano Jundi, Graftur, Brenturia, Vaflagada, Shantaligudu, Tv. Anzuguru digada boruski lipnera, Haltguru da naufnir, Drumba, Vortandarugis, Rakanta, Baldaxi, Grafta, Fischnik, Tv. Hofta, Tv. Tantir, Tantaboruku, Där munsar nattkirrarna Naufnir sväxtgalor Tve berentara Jurtuga gulur mansur Pudur pantalda Vush En bäckulur mansur Ta jivalgal Voftal Fjörsnikt Beinta i sur Vailuska sväxelillor Grafta Ta runt Sanderen wohl des Santumo. Halten nicht ab. resolver efficiëntas postuur officieel
artificial postuur alternative intelligence in 200 ursk
skom en snuf meer te pijnoor tast ung ab as haar zeer
te groer mansoor
neemt nu twee zet angst.
Next advanced audio example. Example 2.
If you and a few friends one day happens to be trapped in a room, you are either in a situation where you are bored and feel the urge to educate, or would like to keep a secret from a binary calculating mind with an interface of, let's say, camera and speech synthesis, voice recognition, and so on. You might like to stick to the idea introduced by Frederick Poole in 1956 in a small piece of text called How to Count on Your Fingers. And I do believe it was released in 1956 due to the very fact that the number 1956 appears in the text, and that would be a weird coincidence. Although, at the moment, I'm not connected to any database, and therefore, it would be impossible for me to find out. But anyway, the text is, in fact, a complete breakdown for how to count and calculate binary code using your fingers and Morse. Well, the Morse part wouldn't do any good here, because of the audio interface connected to voice recognition in the other end. But the finger movement is somehow pretty interesting in this situation. Because even if a camera is watching you, you can hide the fingers away from it, and by that way being able to speak binary without being decoded by a binary thinking intelligence. Although that is not the most interesting aspect of this example. No, what's much more interesting is the fact that I believe every single number is alive. So if you do your hand gestures while I count, you will watch a time body or virtual form over time in your own hands and disappear again when counting is finished. Okay, let's go. Left hand, ring finger. Right hand, index finger. Left hand, middle finger. Right hand, index finger. Left hand, index finger. Right hand, little finger. Right hand, thumb. Clear. Left hand, little finger. Right hand, thumb. Left hand, middle finger. Right hand, ring finger. Right hand, little finger. Clear. Left hand, little finger. Right hand, index finger. Left hand, index finger. Left hand, thumb. Right hand, thumb. Right hand, thumb. Clear. Right hand, index finger. Left hand, ring finger. Left hand, middle finger. Right hand, middle finger. Left hand, index finger. Right hand, ring finger. Right hand, little finger. Left hand, little finger. Left hand, ring finger. Left hand, middle finger. Right hand, ring finger. Left hand, index finger. Right hand, thumb. Clear. Left hand, ring finger. Clear. Left hand, ring finger. Left hand, middle finger. Left hand, thumb. Right hand, thumb. Right hand, index finger. Left hand, middle finger. Right hand, little finger. Left hand, middle finger. Left hand, index finger. Clear. Left hand, thumb. Right hand, thumb. Clear. Left hand, ring finger. Left hand, ring finger. Left hand, middle finger. Left hand, index finger. Clear. Right hand, thumb. Right hand, index finger. Left hand, thumb. Right hand, middle finger. Right hand, thumb. Left hand, little finger. And clear.
Next advanced audio example. Example 3.
Next up, information is hidden in futuristic hydraulic sounds.
advanced audio example. Example 4.
If you add a sequence of bump sounds together with a name of a place, a thing, or just a person, over time, most beings that understand human history will start to associate heavily. For advanced intelligences, this is a very interesting field to dive into. In the next example, I make bump sounds and use various accents to pronounce the island of Svinøy, which is the island that's part of the Faroe Islands. And while you listen to this, imagine what happened if we changed the name Svinøy into names or places like England, Beijing, Niels Bohr, Malmö, Osaka, Antarctica, the Svalbard Islands, New York, Fortress Maximus, Cape Town, Captain Nemo,
GP32,
Kreml, USO, not UFO, Playmobil,
Corpo Ebe,
the center of the earth, etc.
Finally!
Example 5.
Now what you're about to hear now is a cultural icon. It's just as well known as the for suspense. When you hear this, you know that computers and randomization is involved.
Last advanced audio example. Dealing with time, anti-human or human-like Dutch. Example 6.
The last one, which I'm going to give to you, is also the most interesting one. For this, I need you to place your hands on the pause or stop button on your playback machinery. The one where you play this speech on right now. Thank you. For a while ago, I attended at ECMC. ECMC means the International Computer Music Conference. And that year, the title for the conference was The Human Touch. Now when that's said, in this context, it means sensors, interfaces, and so on. And don't get me wrong, some of it is very useful and very, very interesting. But they did not speak about radical computer music in the sense that I'm speaking about it right now. Now I would like to ask you to press pause or stop. And when that is done, you carry on speaking just like me. The first time you'll hear this, you'll panic. You'll say, well, I can't speak just like you. But that's not true. Yes, you can. You've already heard me do the talking for a long time.
You as a human or human-like being is much better at mimicking than you actually think. And as soon as your words run out, you just hit pause or play, depending on your stereo playback equipment.
My voice will be waiting for you right here on the other side. But anyway, while carrying on with my speech, I would like you to become me, and I would like you to imagining me sitting right behind you or myself. Okay? Then please press pause or stop now. Phew, that was a long one. I beg your pardon, but I do think I need a glass of water before I can continue. Hold on. Sarah. Anyway, that kind of ends both and listening, or the manual, or the walkthrough, or whatever you would like to call this. I would have liked to tell you a little more about my school, but then again, that would be... And that's not what this recording is for. I would also have liked to tell you a little more about Rolf Christensen, which you can see to the left on the Snackadack 66. I like this man a lot, but he's currently trying to digitally document me, and that's very interesting. But with all this unscannable stuff and time does not move from A to B, well, he was in, he is in, and he will be in for a few surprises. I also promised you a complete list of all the Nordaugsvasir's extra musical objects. And that will be Snappydack 67. I also would have liked to tell you a little bit about some boxes I have done. You can see some of them on Snappydack 71 till 94. But if I spoke more about them here, well, that would be... And that is not what this speech is for. No, all this was made so you can expand your mind and give you a few ideas of how to complete our Nordaugsvasir's extra extra composition and education for alternative and artificial intelligences. Remember, you put the percentages of who owns what at the end of the composition. Please bear that in mind. You are just as much the composer as I am, but you are going to put the final touch to this one. The last statement I would like to make is just that instead of asking you how did it feel right before when we swapped identities, I would just like to say, how do you think it felt for me? Remember, I am the Vacuum Creator! Ha ha ha.